Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 222 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We've got a fantastic show for you this week. The band Planes on Paper will be joining us here shortly. They are playing the Timber Winter Music Festival in Leavenworth, Washington on October 21st.
January 9th and
10th. that was the date that the tickets were available.
Yes.
Yes, there we go. October 21st. Already happened.
Yeah, it already happened, buddy.
Oh, well, if you haven't guessed it already, we have a very special guest in the studio with us from the get-go, Kevin Sir, the man behind Artist Home and Timber Music Festival. Hello.
Thanks for having me. January
9th. I can't believe I brought that up.
January 9th and 10th.
There we go.
2015.
We'll make sure to say that at least four more times, so it just really drives it home.
That's the theme of today's podcast.
You know, I usually, when I'm doing the intros, I usually don't drink.
Yeah.
So this is a very special occasion. Plus, we usually don't have people in for the intro. You know, so this is like, wow. You should feel really, this is huge.
I feel honored.
This is really big for you.
Yeah, I do feel honored. And thank you for the whiskey, by the way.
You're welcome. Kevin Sir, we just went and saw Interstellar.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. So good, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Every time I tell people I haven't seen it, I just say it's amazing. I don't want to tell you anything.
Do you wish you saw it on, like, the big IMAX screen? Because we saw it on a regular movie screen.
I like that we saw it on a regular movie screen.
Yeah, I don't think it would have added much to it, really.
Yeah, I think I'll follow up and kind of. But the story, you have all this astrophysics, you have like, amazing sci-fi, but the story, which is just truly about love of family, and that I don't know.
So yeah.
I think that was the essence of the movie, and for me, I didn't that. Came across better, I don't know, I think on a regular screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
I thought it was fantastic.
I will follow it up on 70 millimeter IMAX somewhere.
You will?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
I think I should probably go with you.
Yeah, we should do
that. Yeah, we should do that. Again, 3 hours. Let's make sure that we don't see it on a weeknight, maybe?
Yeah.
This next time?
So that we're walking out of the movie theater at 1 a.m.?
At 1 a.m., dude. And I was a zombie. I was a zombie at work the next day.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
It was rough.
So bad.
But the whole time I was a zombie, I was just thinking about the movie.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Trying to wrap your head around the black, flying into a black hole. Yeah. Well, we have you here to talk about this festival that's coming up not on October 21st.
Yes.
In Leavenworth, Washington.
Yes, Timber Winter Music Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
January 9th and 10th. 2015.
Tickets on sale right now, and you can find them at timbermusicfest.com, of course. And let's run through what you guys have announced for your lineup here.
Yeah.
Because you got some serious acts that are going to be playing in the snowy mountains of Leavenworth, Washington, which is going to be just so much fun. So much fun. Can we run through this? Who are you most excited about?
I booked the thing.
Right.
And so it's kind of hard to, you know, I will say that I am really, really, really looking forward to working with and seeing Red Fang.
Yes.
Just not only are they an incredibly kick-ass band.
One of my favorite bands.
Just insane live show, but by reputation, like people behind the scenes, production folks, sound guys, etc.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everyone that has ever worked with them has just to a T been like, these are the nicest people, most professional. So whenever I hear that, it definitely like perks my ears to on another level.
Have you seen the new animated video that just came out?
Oh yeah. That thing is just so killer.
Oh God, it's so good.
Yeah. So I'm excited to work with them.
Yeah.
And see them, cause, this is our first time having them and working with them in any way.
I can say that, I can agree with you on them being, well, first of all, great, amazing live show. Second of all, some of the greatest dudes on the planet, because they've been on this show twice now. Both very awkward interviews, by the way, because I was so friggin' nervous to talk with them.
Yeah.
I feel like like metal like that, like those dudes have a lot of, you know, they're hardcore. And I want to make myself feel cool in front of them.
Do
and
you revert?
It usually just doesn't work.
Do you revert back to like the 12-year-old like metalhead kid?
Exactly.
Who's like... Yeah. Part of the allure of metal is how intimidating it kind of seems and dangerous. So then you think that everyone you meet in metal is like dangerous, like has a switchblade in the back pocket and can just stab you anytime they want.
That's exactly how I felt. Even though I knew that they were very nice, I kind of felt that they were going to stab me at some point.
Yeah, in a cool way, though.
In a cool way. Yeah, it would have been so awesome.
It would have been so rad. Yeah.
So Red Fang's going to be playing. Saul, great hip-hop from the Northwest.
Yeah.
Deep Sea Diver, Hobosexual. Legs from New York, also from kind of Washington. Prom Queen. Man. And these guys, Planes on Paper, who we've got on the show tonight.
Who are exceptional.
Yeah, they were friggin' fantastic. I had no idea that they lived over on the other side of the mountains.
Yeah, and you know, they're one of the first bands we booked. I've actually been in love with them for a while. They, I learned about them, cause they submitted to another festival that I book.
Oh yeah.
And, couldn't book them over the summer. Just kind of ran out of space, but one of the many bands that I was like, please stick with these bands.
Right.
And, they're going to be one of the bands that are performing in town at, all this is happening in town. We have a big fest hall.
Yeah.
1,400 capacity. We have a hot toddy garden. It's awesome. Everyone congregates there at night after a day of like playing in the snow, going snowboarding, doing some dog sledding, which there is actually. REI is doing snowshoeing up in the mountains.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you come back, you get a hot toddy. Everyone's like back in the fest hall. It's sort of like a giant ski lodge.
Yeah.
You know, and then awesome music just starts.
That's amazing. So is music going on all day during these festivities, like that other people can, or activities that people can be doing?
Yeah, not all day. Saturday is the day where music's happening during the day.
Yeah.
And you could kind of, for me, like going in Leavenworth, I just think it's a fun town to just walk around.
Sure.
Everything's within like kind of a 5-block radius.
Yeah, totally.
So one of the many things you could choose to do on Saturday of Timber Winter Music Festival is you can bounce around between a couple venues in town where we will have acts like Planes on Paper, the Banner Days, which is Bradford Loomis's new project.
Okay.
Ad Ode, which is Galen from Pickwick. And
yeah,
his
and his sister, right? Yeah.
Yeah, really cool thing. You could do that. And also Courtney Marie Andrews, who's just unbelievably talented and just has the most gorgeous voice. But
I don't think I've heard her before.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
So anyways, during the day, you know, you've already had these hot toddies and you just rocked out to Saul, you know, the night before. And so during the day, you're in snowy Leavenworth, you know, kind of wintry wonderland and time stands still. And, you know, Planes on Paper is like a perfect way, I think, for people to kind of just start.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be gorgeous. It's going to be dead silent. And they're just a gorgeous, gorgeous band.
Yeah.
So
And so is most of this is going to be like 21 and over then as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, if you're buying a ticket, it's 21 and over. But however, the events that are happening during the day at Icicle Brewing and at Munchen House, which are just a couple blocks from each other, and nothing will overlap. Two blocks. There you go. All of that is not only all ages, but it's also free. So if you have kids and you want to do that, you just... you know, that's a part that you could bring them to. There's no charge. There's no nothing. You just go.
Right. Right. Cool, man. Well, that's going to be, it sounds like it's going to be a really good time.
Yes.
A lot of warm drinks going to be served. A lot of beer that's involved as well.
Yeah. Icicle Brewing, right? Icicle Brewing beer. Which is damn tasty.
Yeah.
And a hot toddy garden. That we create the menu with Snoqualmie ice cream, Cafe Vita, and Jim
That's
Beam.
That's so cool.
We all sit in a room, and literally just start going Swedish Chef God, on all these amazing ingredients. But
I kind of want your job. Although you are stressed out quite a bit.
I love my job, man. When I get to like create a hot toddy menu for a music festival up in the snow, that's pretty rad. We have one called Cinnamon Toast Crunk, which. Uh-huh. Is a very boozy drink that tastes like the milk in your cereal bowl after eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's damn good.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, tickets are available now at timbermusicfest.com. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $55.
$55
for the whole weekend.
Okay.
And then if you are a local of Leavenworth, you can go to Good Mood Food and get them for $45.
Awesome, man. That's great. That's
get
great.
Them quick.
Well, Kevin Cirth, thank you so much for stopping by, dude.
Hey, thanks for the whiskey.
I always love seeing you.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, we're going to go with our first musical break. This is Iron Boat by Planes on Paper, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
He found a toy. I watched him make his own. It was an sail the backyard coast to coast, and what he loved the most was what he let inside. 'Cause when the rats get in through the bows of the ship, spread their sin to the hopeful cries of hopeless men who sail the rising sea. And I started running low from the tide. I wasn't fast enough, searching for a place that I could hide. Needy dear,
ridiculous. Why give an ambiguous answer to a question like that?
Well, way back when we first met and started playing music together, Jen was married.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. But
so then for a very long stretch of being in bands together, we were just in bands together.
Yeah.
But, you know, people would still ask, like, are you guys a couple? And we're like, well, we're a couple of musicians, but no, we're not, you know.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
Is this getting recorded?
I don't usually start the show like this, but how did that happen?
So
you were married, Jenny.
Yeah.
And you were playing in bands.
Yes.
And you started playing with Naveed here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And was it like love at first sight? Were you happy in your marriage at the time, or what was?
No.
No.
Yeah, it was neither love at first sight nor happy in a marriage. It was
okay.
It's a very natural progression of slowly warming up to me and also slowly finalizing
correct.
Her court process.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I tend to be a person that takes some warming up to. I've learned that myself over the years.
He's a lot to manage. No, he's sweet.
Jenny Borst and Naveed Elliott joining me here in the backyard. Together they make the duo Planes on Paper from Yakima, Washington, correct?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I had no idea you guys were living in Yakima, and so that really threw me for a loop there.
Yeah.
when you guys got here.
I think people are generally not used to bands coming from Yakima. I mean,
you play over here pretty frequently, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of forever home in a way.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I have dual citizenship or something. Because I think of Yakima as home, and then but I refer to both, depending on where I am.
Okay.
If I'm in Seattle, I say, oh, no, we're going home tomorrow. And if I'm in Yakima, I'd say, like, it's been a long time since I went home. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yakima's pretty much home for me, though, because I never escaped. So,
for the people who do not live in Washington and live elsewhere around the world, Yakima is east of the Cascade Mountains, which separates like the Seattle area, the Puget Lowland, from the east side of the state, which is more dry and deserty.
The barren desert,
of eastern Washington.
Yeah. The shrub steppe.
Shrub steppe.
Yeah.
We were gonna call this band Great Survivors of the Shrub Steppe, but. It didn't have the same ring.
Mm-hmm. He shoots down all my ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you guys? So how? What band were you guys playing in when you first met?
We put together a band called Not Amy,
okay.
Like 3 years ago, and did that for like a year or a year and a half.
Yeah.
3 years ago, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was right when I got over to Yakima.
It was almost
pretty much.
A 2 year little project.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of started this one, like, you know, while that was still running.
Okay.
And that was, like, a five-piece, like, more of a rock band thing.
Okay.
But we had
and
a bunch
so you guys just kind of instantly clicked, like, musically?
Yeah, well...
I would say.
Yeah. We had met a couple times. Jen is a photographer by trade.
Uh-huh.
So we met when she was shooting photos for a publication over in Yakima. And then... we somehow ended up, she kind of jokingly said, like, oh, yeah, I'd sing harmonies for you. We should do that. And then we actually, I was at Jen's house for her birthday party, and it turns out she could actually sing harmonies.
Yeah.
And I was I was surprised because I definitely thought she was joking. But she wasn't, and I, you know, I think she's great at it.
I practice a lot in my car.
Yeah. So we became a band, like, immediately. You're like, okay, let's have a rock band, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right on. So that was 3 years ago. Not Amy. Where does the name Not Amy come from? That's got to have some sort of weird story to it, right?
It did.
It actually was a really weird story.
Jen apparently looks very much like an Amy.
Okay.
Like an Amy that a friend of ours, like, knew well at some point in his life. So he was horribly offended that Jen never responded to his hellos and, like, his how's it going, Amy.
Oh, like, this is, like, something he would see you walking down the street and he would call
you
Amy.
Yeah, well, just
that,
like, social stuff. Like, we had, like, a lot of mutual friends, but I didn't know him. And he'd be like, oh, hey, Amy. And I just didn't look over, and he was like, how are you, Amy? And it was like, I didn't know a lot of people around there either, so I just never, I thought he was just talking to someone else.
Sure.
And then finally he says to our other friend that was in our band, he's like, yeah, Amy is, you know, kind of snotty. She never even responds.
What's her deal?
Like, and he's like, who? And he points at me, and Chad's like, that's not Amy. And he's like, oh. And so then he just called me that as a nickname for like a few months. And then when we were sitting down
thinking about a band after you,
he's like, oh, I think you should call it Not Amy. And so we were like, and then we didn't even discuss it further. It was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. That same thing happened to my wife, Mairead. You guys met her.
Yeah.
When you came in. We were living in Bellingham for a little while. After I graduated college, she was still going to school, finishing up. And a car full of dudes rolled past her one time, and this guy, like, all the way out of the window, extends his middle finger and goes, fuck you, Candace! She's the only one on the sidewalk, so she's just like, what? Like, you know.
Did she start that band?
Fuck you, Candace?
Yeah. No.
Dang. That would be great,
That would
though.
Have been the perfect
story. That would have
been
a great band. Fuck you, Candace. No, so... So a couple weeks later, we just kind of like chuckled about that story, right? I mean, it's kind of funny. It's like these guys really hated Candace. And apparently my wife looks like her. And so she's walking down the sidewalk again about a week later, and a guy, a city bus rolls by, and a different, completely different guy takes the window down and extends his middle finger and goes, fuck you, Candace!
Different guy?
Different guy. Different guy.
What?
Yeah. So apparently Candace, real bitch.
That is outlandish. Up in,
Candace, if you're listening.
Candace, if you hear this. What the hell did you do up in Bellingham?
To so many people.
But your wife looks just like her?
Apparently, yeah.
Maybe she has a double life.
Nope.
Or a twin.
You just blew my mind.
Who's in politics?
Wouldn't that be weird, though, to find that out about your wife? That she has a completely different...
Completely different life.
Yeah.
She's got a whole different family. That would be crazy.
In like the 20 minutes a day you don't see her, she manages to maintain an entire different life.
I mean, I just met her for a second, but she doesn't seem like that type.
Yep,
so that would be all the more, yeah.
All the more weird.
Yeah, she seemed pretty nice and normal.
It's hard.
You never know.
Not like a Candace.
Yeah, she didn't seem like a Candace to me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to imagine how some people have the time to have a double life.
That's what I have always wondered. Having two kids now, like you hear stories about mainly guys, right? Guys that have like totally different like families with other kids and other grandchildren and stuff like that. How the hell does that even work?
Those dudes are completely insane.
I think that does play a huge part in it.
Yeah, even having a single life is like a lot to manage.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Well, they say guys they can detach more. Like they can like.
Right. They just go and they sit in a chair.
Yeah. It's like whatever situation I'm in, I'm just going to be this guy. And then that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. There was a guy I worked next to this weird, like, this weird stockyard once after college. And it was like they would, you know, they just had scaffolding there. They would go and they were a company that would go and set up scaffolding.
Whoa.
And I got kind of like, you know, close to one of the guys that worked there. He was young like me, and we would just kind of sit outside and smoke cigarettes and bullshit for a little bit. And his grandfather, who owned the business, died. And while I was still working there, and he proceeded to tell me the stories like when he died, this whole separate family showed up to the funeral, and nobody knew who they were. They didn't know who we were.
What?
And it was like super weird. Like that's how they found out about each other. This guy had those two separate lives going on.
Oh, that's terrible.
So what
they found out about each other at the funeral
is that he was not only a successful entrepreneur, but
he
also
was not a successful entrepreneur.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe if he just had a single life, he'd have had more time to run that scaffolding business.
Or take care of one of his sons worked there. He was like this 40-year-old, 45-year-old guy.
and he was addicted to methamphetamines. Okay. And he was living in this, like, one of those big freight containers on site. And he would poop in a bucket and stuff. And it was awful. Yeah, it was bad. Bad news bears over at the scaffolding place.
That's we should put together a bill, one night only, where we all assume double lives as punk rock bands. And we can be Fuck You, Candace. And you can be Poop in a Bucket.
Hey, there you go. There you go. I think this is a great idea. I don't see anything going wrong with this.
No.
Not at all. So back to you guys. So you start playing music about 3 years ago. You find that you harmonize very well. Things are going good. What happens next? You did mention that Planes on Paper kind of started almost immediately after you guys found each other, right?
Yeah. Well, it's an interest, like, living over on the other side of the mountains where rent isn't quite what it is here.
Mm-hmm.
And
much cheaper.
And also there's, like, a really great wine and beer industry all over the east side of the mountains. It made it a reasonable thing to think, like, oh, we can gig for a living.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it really is a possibility. You know, you, like, you don't have to really tour, but, you know, 2-hour drive on a Friday and a 2-hour drive home.
Sure.
And you make enough to live on.
Yeah.
Maybe not solely just gig money. So as soon as we were in the other band, and we had a fairly busy gig schedule, but there were still holes in it.
And what were you guys playing in that band? That was more of a rock outfit?
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I took a few more guitar solos, and we both did some harmony roles.
Yeah.
And we had a bunch of tunes that didn't so much suit that, or, you know, we didn't work up with that band, and we had holes in the calendar. So we're like, well, let's, you know, we started taking some duo shows.
Uh-huh.
and really, like, just through those first few months of doing some duo shows, felt like, oh, this is so comfortable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is,
yeah,
we, you know, and even the writing process, like, just thinking, you know, the two of us.
So
together,
you're writing new stuff, yeah, at this point too.
Yeah. Together. And kind of,
he's always writing stuff.
Yeah. So. No, most of it isn't usable, but it's always getting written. But, you know, and we were kind of writing with the idea of our two voices being on everything and kind of sharing some of the melodic, like, in the same way that Simon and Garfunkel did, you know, like, sometimes you can't help, you're listening to Garfunkel's part, you're hearing it as the melody, and sometimes you're not. Sometimes you hear Paul Simon as the melody,
yeah.
And it's pretty fluid the way they do it. And so we kind of started writing more together and kind of being able to use some of those tricks where we are always singing together, and whichever one is the more exciting line at the time, you know, you'll hear it as the melody.
You plug it in there. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Now, Jenny, had you always been kind of a singer? You said you sing a lot in the car.
Yeah.
But had you ever done it in, like, a band setting?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I a while back I sang with a church band.
Mm-hmm.
And, then
a while back,
yeah, it was a while, and then just I was always in quiet, like,
in your other life
in high school. Yeah, it was another life. But yeah, choir in high school, and
you sat in with a cover band for a while.
Yeah. There's a couple cover bands around Yakima before I met him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we just did stuff like at a winery, a restaurant, and
it was
really fun and, like, pretty casual, but learned a lot, and these guys have been playing together for like 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And so I was kind of like, I just kind of sing with them, but tried to kind of do some harmonies that they couldn't hit.
Yeah
But it was really fun, and, you know, kind of a couple of friends and my, we, like, talked about, like, let's just start something, let's do it, but schedules and, you know, kids and stuff, it just never, nobody could make it work. So
right.
Yeah, so this is, like, the first real opportunity to do something musically that
had you ever written before, too?
Just a lot of poetry, but nothing that fit into song.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I played piano, like, I, like, did, like, 10 years of piano lessons, but it was very classical, like, not, like, a songwriter. I didn't ever think, oh, I could write a song. Like, it didn't really even occur to me. And then, you know, slowly with him, you know, just kind of watching what he did, you know, it was like, okay, I need to write like in this way and, you know, kind of have like a beat to it. Like I didn't, yeah. I'd never put the two together.
Sure, sure.
Which it's really hard. And I have so much respect for people that can just do that. Cause it's like, it's such a mental process.
So you were really, really kind of learning on the fly.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, great. I did have a background in it, but I'd just always played, like, whatever my piano teacher said to play, you know. And yeah, so, and yeah. I just started learning, like, oh, well, yeah, I can play just what, like, just tell me the chords. Like, I don't need music for that. Oh.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like ding, ding.
Well, that's a funny
just
thing.
In the last few years, so.
Yeah.
I'm working
yeah.
on it a little.
And that's great. Well, you're doing a great job. It sounds really good.
Thank you.
That's the funny thing, and I've had this conversation before with other people who have studied music, right?
Mm.
And you know, in like a college setting, Naveed, you and I went to the same college.
We did. Go Wildcats.
Unknown to both of us before you got over here, and we were there at the same time, which is yeah. crazy. So we must have like crossed paths. Many,
at the very
times.
Least, we have one degree of separation.
Yes.
In Dave
yeah.
Schultz.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh God, that's so funny. So, a lot of the music majors that I met at that school, with the exception of like a handful, could not really write their own stuff.
No.
Or when they did, it wasn't cohesive. It didn't have, you know, it never turned out like a normal song. It always kind of turned into some sort of experimental sound,
yeah.
kind of thing, right? Like there was no pop element. There was no, you know. They knew what that meant, but they couldn't get it down onto paper because their head is so full of theory, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that conversation with quite a few of the music majors, and both of you, it's interesting, kind of come from that background. You with the choir and that kind of stuff, needing something written down for you to be
yeah.
like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. And Naveed, you... majored in guitar in
yeah,
college, right?
Yeah, classical guitar.
Yeah. So were you always kind of stuck in that?
Well, I played in bands from the time I was like 12 or something.
Okay, so you were surrounded by music at a
yeah.
young age. You were doing it on the fly and.
Yeah, Matt and Mikey and I were playing music together when I was like 12, and Mikey like essentially taught. All of us, everything we knew about the guitar.
The Gervais brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Mikey says hi, by the way.
Oh, good. Yeah. I love those guys.
And then I got to college and didn't really know what you're supposed to do at college. But then I joined the music program, and somebody told me that classical guitar was way too hard because I didn't know anything about classical music
yeah.
or about really reading for the guitar.
Sure.
And, somebody telling me that it was much too hard for me, and me being like an 18-year-old dickhead and thinking like, oh no, I'm great, made yeah, me think yeah. that was definitely a good choice for me
yeah.
and it wasn't going to be that hard, but turns out it was nearly impossible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't know anywhere close to what I thought I knew about guitar playing or
right, right.
or music in general.
So is that what you majored in? It was classical guitar?
Yeah.
So nylon string, fat neck.
Yep.
That kind of stuff.
Oh yeah!
Wow,
I still play my classicals a lot.
Yeah.
He played classical the entire duration of Not Amy. That whole band.
Oh, really?
Was played with classical mm-hmm. guitar.
Yeah. I hate the classical guitar.
Really?
Just playing it. Like I love the sound
oh,
of it,
yeah.
but I can't. The neck is too big for me. Like I am.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like a nightmare where you wake up and your hands shrunk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or you're like a 2-year-old trying to learn.
Yeah.
You know, like. Because it's just so much bigger. It's so much bigger. And the strings are so much fatter, too.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been able to really
it's a weird thing. And
really
there's
play a classical.
And you can bend the strings as much as you want, but they're not changing pitch for
no,
you.
No,
they
not
just
at all.
Bend and nothing
yeah.
really
And it sounds like
happens.
Shit.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's really nice for the right hand.
Uh-huh.
Like the picking, having the strings that far apart.
Yeah. Well, I see you've still got the fingernails.
Oh, yeah, I still use them.
Yeah, yeah.
But mostly... I would play nylon string guitars more
mm-hmm.
if I felt like I ever had a nylon string guitar that had a pickup in it that didn't sound god-awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had so much trouble with that pickup.
Yeah, it doesn't... I mean, either you have a mic inside your classical guitar...
Yeah,
that's going to feedback insanely bad.
Isn't part of it because the strings, like on electric guitar or on a normal like acoustic electric, the pickup is picking up magnetic.
Yeah,
like so, resonance, right? Like you're not. I don't know if that's the right word, but with the nylon, it's made out of nylon. It's not going to pick up those top three strings as well.
Yeah,
right?
So, well, it won't really even pick up the bottom three.
Oh, really?
No, not well.
Not enough
so
metal on it.
You like can't. Magnetic pickups are out of the question. It's all like either under the saddle or a mic inside.
Yeah.
And under the saddle ones sound terrible, and they're like poorly. They just don't balance right.
Yeah.
And the internal mic like is just. You don't get to have monitors or it's going to feedback at you like crazy. And so I just had to give up on the dream. I actually looked up online. I was trying to figure out. I saw a video of Fleetwood Mac and Lindsey Buckingham is playing a nylon string guitar. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I need whatever Lindsey Buckingham has in his guitar is what I need. So
well, doesn't Chet Atkins, they make like a signature Chet Atkins like electric, acoustic electric. Which is like super, super thin. Haven't you ever seen?
Yeah,
have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they make a nylon version of that too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I looked up Lindsey Buckingham's thing and found a video from his guitar tech. And that guy was like, oh yeah, the only way to make it sound good is that there's an individual pickup under each string, and I balance them from the board.
Holy shit!
I was like, yeah, okay, I'm never.
That's
yeah.
Until Lindsey Buckingham, his guitar tech comes and works for me. That's does not happen.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But also, I like, you know, guitars are guitars. Like they're tools. You know, if steel strings are just fine, like they do the same.
Yeah, yeah. So being classically trained, both of you, especially you, Naveed, on classical guitar. What do you think of that guy? What was that guy's name that was hawking, like, infomercial
Esteban?
Guitars? Esteban.
The world's greatest guitarist?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say anything bad about him because he's the world's greatest guitarist. I remember I was actually in school with a bunch of dudes really into classical guitar when those commercials first came out.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. Like, everybody showed up one day like, hey, is there a guy that we just don't know about who's the world's greatest guitarist? You know?
Oh, yeah, the Jimi Hendrix of classical guitar.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it turns out he may be the world's greatest, but nobody's ever heard him play any music, so it's hard to evaluate. You know?
Oh, my God. I just remember seeing those stupid infomercials.
Oh, man.
For those horrible... Like, and I know a couple people with those guitars, and they're just basically made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
You know, they're just... awful.
And that guy's fingernails, I would love to see that commercial again because I remember his fingernails being horrifying.
Very, very, like vampire long.
Yeah. I keep, like, and that's a balance with wanting to play with your fingernails, but also, like, keeping them just long enough you can play with them, but not so long that they creep anybody out.
Right.
It's a fine line.
Jenny's, like, staring at it right now.
It's a really fine line.
We call them old raccoon hands. Old raccoon claw. Yeah.
That's perfect. So it doesn't freak you out.
No, Jenny. When I first met him, I was like, "Huh, that's interesting. What would cause someone to have that long a fingernail?" Because he seemed like super normal otherwise, and then I realized, I don't know anything about guitar. But then once I was like, "Oh, it's because they're like built-in picks. Get it?
There you go.
Yeah, but at first I was like, "That's really Like, it was a little eyebrow-raising for a minute, but then once I knew him, I was like, oh, that makes sense. He doesn't care.
All right, well, let's do this, guys. Let's hear another song from your three-song EP called The Ruins that comes out, January 1st, 2015.
Yep.
It's coming up soon. Has this been played anywhere else?
Nope.
Yet?
Nope.
All
Not
right.
Anywhere.
Air Raid, first one.
Yep.
First run. Okay, this one's called Monolithia. Did I say that right?
Yep.
I think I did. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guests this week, Planes on Paper. All right, stay with us.
Ancient history under my microscope. Survivors of a war. And did the beauty die? to the skull under the skin. Did we cheat our hearts to see the parts of this world we're living in? The unsightly skeleton. Are we aging bones in unkept promises in the shadow?
Tech talk with playing on TikTok.
Man, that was sad. That was really sad.
Yeah. When I love that guy.
Everybody, I mean, it was like the internet shit the bed.
Yeah.
When that guy died. I can't even remember his name.
So sad.
Was it Ray?
Ray, probably.
Tom and Ray Maiazzi?
No. It was Tom, wasn't it?
Tom, yeah.
It was Tom who died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about cars, but those guys were great to listen to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Did you guys listen to that show?
Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. So welcome back to the show. We just heard, Monolithia from the 3-song EP that's coming out January 1st from Planes on Paper. And joining me in studio is said band, Jenny and Naveed. Now, you guys... So, Naveed, you play bass with Mikey and Maddie.
I do.
One of my favorite bands.
One of mine too.
Yeah, dude, it's great stuff.
Everybody's favorite band.
And you and I, we probably first met somewhere in Ellensburg, which neither of us can remember, but because we were so high and drunk.
Sounds about right. And also, we were college kids.
You meet all sorts of people in college. Yeah, that's right. But you're playing in this band that lives in Seattle and you live in Yakima. That's like, 100 miles away?
Yeah.
300 miles away?
130 or so, yeah.
Okay. How does that work out, man?
Well, it turns out that we actually listen to so much Mikey and Maddie at the house that, like, I'm pretty familiar with their catalog already, even before they needed a bass player. So So it hasn't been... hasn't been terribly difficult for me. I hope it hasn't been terribly difficult for Mikey and Maddie either.
Yeah. But you probably come over here, you guys both come over here regularly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, my family's here, so we get over quite a bit.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Okay.
And we like, you know, we like to play here.
Yeah.
Ourselves. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good reasons to come to Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the restaurants.
Yep.
Yes.
And the rain.
Yeah. Whenever we miss the rain, we just hop in the car.
Hop in the car, come over during the winter.
The last, like, 10 times we've been here, though, there's been no rain.
That's
true. There's that little trip in July that it poured
buckets.
That's right. But besides that, like, we keep missing it, and that's pretty good.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm okay
with
it.
It's good timing.
Right, right. So what made you stay in on the east side?
So when I had lived in a few different towns, mm-hmm. over the few years before I got to Yakima, and I moved there without like a lot of expectation of really staying around too long.
Yeah.
And then I kind of discovered that there are a lot of things to like about that area. One is that it's always sunny.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Literally like 300 days out of the year.
Sure.
It's like bright and sunny out. And then also there's like a tremendous beer and wine industry, and the wine industry really supports the arts well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I found like this little oasis where, you know, rent is cheap and musicians are paid well.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think about leaving.
Yeah. And that's fantastic. Like, I mean, knowing that, cause like you said, rent is cheap over there.
Yeah.
Right. It's a lot. The living expenses aren't such an issue as they are here in Seattle. And I know that a lot of musicians, and even a lot of musicians that we've had on this show, like, are having a lot of issues with paying for living here in the city. Like, I've heard of a lot of talk about, you know, people moving north to like Shoreline, which is basically just up the road from mm-hmm. here. But that plays a big part in it, right? If you want to play music for your job and that's what you love, you want to keep on making your art. Like, that's a huge part of it, right?
Definitely. Yeah. To not feel kind of like if there's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday where we could be gigging,
uh-huh.
but I got to work Friday morning, then, you know, it does put a hamper on how much you can play.
Oh, sure, sure.
Just to have to hold down a 5 or 6 day a week,
yeah,
day
yeah.
job.
And, but when you guys come over here to play shows, I mean, especially during the winter, like, that pass can get pretty hairy.
Well, yeah, the travel between Yakima and Ellensburg over the smaller
that's
the rough patch. And they keep I-90 pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's I-90 is almost never.
I don't know, man. I have had some pretty. I used to in college. Like I worked at Snoqualmie Pass mm-hmm. for a little while. That was the worst. That and Costco, worst jobs I've ever had in my life.
I temped at Costco. Briefly.
Did you?
Yep.
Were you a box boy?
No, I sold mattresses, and it was a great thing. I stood. The store manager came over and like I guess technically I was a temp for the mattress company.
Yeah.
And he told me, like, yeah, you know, you have to sell these mattresses. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, what do I do? He's like, don't bother the customers. Don't approach them. And I was like, so really I just stand by the mattresses and wait until someone asks me for one. And he said, yeah. And so I could handle that. I just tucked in my shirt and stood next to mattresses for like straight weeks. Yeah.
Can I tell you guys about my Costco experience working
please.
At Costco? So I'm out of college. I'm living with Mairead, my then girlfriend, up in Bellingham, right? And I'm searching for a job frantically because, you know, my 2 months of playing video games is now coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I have to find something to do. And I finally find this job in Burlington, which is like almost like 50 miles south of Bellingham. So it's a long commute, but it was the only thing I could find. Like, living in a college town, like you lived in Ellensburg, it was hard as shit to find a job. In a town like that, right? And Bellingham was the same way. And so finally I get this job and I'm a box boy. I got a degree in geology and I'm a box boy at Costco, right?
Yeah.
And like, and oh my God, just some of the worst people on the planet shop at Costco, man.
That's the truth.
Yeah, it really is. I accidentally put the eggs next to the Brillo sponges in the box, right? or I didn't cry, I didn't, and you'd get yelled at for stuff like that, right? From like the customer, or like you didn't grab the right kind of box that they wanted, right? You'd have like a tangerine crate instead Orange. Of like a big, you know, box with four sides on it. And it was just, I mean, it was just unbearable. And then you'd help these people to their cars with these big box of groceries, and then they'd take everything out of the box and they'd throw the box into the parking lot.
Oh, lovely. Awesome.
Lovely.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
In my 3 weeks, I did have to say, could you please not put your shoes on that mattress a lot more than I expected. Like, don't stand on that. That's a bed.
But that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the worst it got.
That was as bad as it got for me.
Jenny, worst job.
Oh, the worst job?
Yeah, worst job.
Oh, my. Oh.
And if you're afraid of saying their name on the show, you don't have to say the name of the company, but you can.
No,
explain
I think
it.
The company is done.
Okay, good.
I was a busser for a restaurant called, I think it was the Mustard Seed. It was my first job.
Where?
It was in Yakima.
In Yakima?
I don't know if it's still a restaurant anymore. It was dirty and awful. And the manager hated me, but I really wasn't a very good, I don't think I was a good bus girl either. So I think it was maybe like we fed off of each other in a bad way. Cause I was there to hang out and talk. Like, I mean, and to me it was a horror, like I hated them. Like they yelled at me and like they didn't, I don't know. It was a bad, it stunk there. And I have a hard time going in to like chain restaurants because I feel like I can smell
that cleaning.
There's the residual smoke, right?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Because you can't smoke in Washington inside anymore, which is probably the same for a lot of places now. But like, there's the residual smoke smell.
Yeah.
And I imagine like, because I to this day I'm still a smoker. I struggle with it. I hate it, but I still do it anyway. But like I was so happy when they banned smoking in Washington inside like bars and restaurants and stuff, because you would walk out of a place, man, and like even your pants would smell.
You had to just
like
take
it.
Your clothes off as you walked in the door. Like,
sure.
Because when I first turned 21, the bars were like all, it was thick clouds of smoke.
Totally.
Everyone smoked in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And
chain smoke too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Because you had to like acclimate yourself to it. Yeah. Almost,
pretty much,
right?
Yeah. Otherwise, it, you just were. It was so. It was really gross. Yeah.
It's because it's well known that secondhand smoke is bad for you. Firsthand smoke, however,
well,
the jury
is
still out.
The jury's still out.
Because
yeah.
Think about it. Because like you think like you're gonna go smoke outside, and so but then when you're done smoking, you come in and there's no. You're not just. It's not floating around
sure.
you
you're
all
not
the
breathing
time.
It for four straight hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Better. I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like. I think all smokers are probably a little healthier now just because they're not breathing it secondhand constantly.
Which will give us all excuses to keep smoking.
Yeah,
like, I don't have cancer yet.
Yeah, it was actually heavy smokers that were crucial in passing the no smoking in bars to give themselves
a
good excuse.
Totally. But you can still go into some of these places, like an old Denny's or something like that, right?
You can smell
and you
it.
Look up on, you can still smell it, and you can look up on the ceiling, and it's just like tar.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh sweet Jesus, Villa Gardens just outside Denver.
Oh
man,
you're gonna talk about that.
Yeah, man, I trusted the internet to
I
lead
told
us
him
to
not
some
to
good
do it.
Food before we got.
Yeah.
We were in Denver and we had to go to the airport because it was our last day. And so I Googled. I was like, "Yeah, good restaurants near the Denver airport."
Uh-huh. This is on a tour or just on a trip?
No, we were actually down there for a wedding. Jenny was shooting a wedding down there.
Gotcha.
And we ended up. I mean, all 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
For Villa Gardens, and we pulled up, and there was just it was like bars on the windows, like
and they had plastic flowers shoved in the dry clay dirt.
Oh yeah,
and an Elvis impersonator.
There was a sign right
poster.
Out front for Hot Elvis.
Hot Elvis
Thursday night.
Playing.
What?
And but man, all the reviews, I'm like, yeah, this place looks like hell.
What is Hot Elvis like? Is that
he's
he's a really sweaty Elvis.
it was the. Like, and he still made, I was like, we can't go in there. And he's like, oh, we're going in.
Yeah, because we were like miles and miles from civilization, and sure, I was like, this has got to be better than eating at the airport, you know. I was wrong. I trusted the reviews too much. Uh-huh. So many reviews. Like, this is the best Mexican food in Denver. And I was like, huh. So we go in, and
restaurant with hot Elvis. I can't get over that.
The interesting thing is that those were the reviews, but it was definitely not a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, really?
It was terrifying.
They had like 3 Mexican dishes. We were vegetarians at the time.
Yeah.
And so we ordered, we look on and we're like, okay, what can we get?
You need a chile relleno.
So the chile relleno comes to the table. And it was just, it looked like
just
a pile of goulash. Like it was. And so he goes to the bathroom. And there's a guy at the next table loudly discussing his abscess. And I'm like gagging. He's got some abscess that he's just talking about. And so this, like...
Like he's sitting at the bar or something?
Just, like, he's sitting at his table eating with his family, talking about this horrible thing.
And he's like, yeah, and all this pus is... And I was just... I texted him while he was in the bathroom. I was like, wait, this is... I'm going to barf. Like, this is horrible. So then the chile relleno comes. And it's just this mess. And
And it had little bits of, like...
Like jerky in it. Like, it had like hard, burnt beef.
That had come off the grill or something.
I apologize to anybody who's eating while listening to this show.
And then the best part is that we got the food, like we had a bite and we're like, oh no, we got to get out of here. Like this is terrifying.
You couldn't even get it in your mouth. Like it was, the textures were just wrong. Like it's like you're eating like dead body. Like it was just.
It was horrible.
Like it felt wrong.
So it was basically like you guys were a soccer team that crashed on a mountain and you had to eat your fellow passengers.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah,
so we went to the front and we paid our tab and we're on the way out the door and our waitress came from the back of the restaurant.
She had no teeth
and
a football jersey.
She follows us to the front door and goes, you didn't like your chili relleno? And I was like, okay. God.
He like turns to her and like raises a finger like he's gonna start telling, and then he's just like, never mind, let's go.
Yep.
I mean, they were offended.
That place was like caked in 50-year-old smoke.
I can only imagine.
The carpets had stuff all over them. There was like old fish tanks with like really sad looking fish, like those Vegas fish, like maybe in its day it had like an aquarium vibe
to the
whole restaurant.
Yeah.
The fish tanks weren't clean at all.
Yeah.
And there's like stuff floating in them. It was
so I'm
don't trust Yelp.
I'm getting the impression that
ask your friends
that they probably like signed up for a whole bunch of different Yelp accounts.
That's what I told him.
Like emails that probably they only used once and then they just did reviews for their own restaurant.
Absolutely, because it was insane.
Apparently I'm the last remaining jerk that thinks you can believe the internet, apparently. So
I was the minute we pulled up, I was like,
nobody would do a thing like that. They wouldn't put fake reviews.
Like it says right here, it's the best restaurant in Denver. And I'm like,
I mean, all people are good and honest, right? Nobody would tell me this chili relleno wasn't made from people.
Oh my
god, really was.
Yeah, it was Soylent Green. That's what was in the chili relleno.
Soylent
relleno.
Yeah. Relleno.
I don't know.
Relleno.
I don't know if I'm saying it right.
I could never say that word. Like, that's the one reason I never order that dish, is because I can't say it.
Done right, it's an amazing dish.
It is.
I've had it before when it was just given to me.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't order it. I feel like such a knucklehead trying to order it at a Mexican restaurant, because usually, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a Spanish-speaking person.
And they look at you blankly like...
Yeah, they're just like, you white piece of shit.
That's not a word.
Right, right.
I just point, and I'm like, I want that.
Number 27.
This one.
I feel like the world can be divided into two groups, and that is the people that are like, I'll have this one. And then there are the people that go, like, full bore and, like, have a Spanish accent when they order Mexican food.
I got a story for
you. Like, they have to roll the R's in burrito.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to dinner once.
That's kind of awesome.
I lived with this mutual friend of ours who I actually went to high school with, David Schultz, who ended up going to our same college and majoring in music.
Wonder if he still has that strat.
I'll bet you he does.
I sold
he
him a
never
strat.
He never got rid of any musical instrument that he owned. So
I hope he still has it.
I'm still in kind of in a little bit of contact with him, so I will shoot him a message about it. But his parents took us to El Caporal, which was the really good Mexican restaurant in Ellensburg one night. And Dave's dad was the type of, he was type number two of the people who order from Mexican restaurants and does the burrito. Worst like white guy like Spanish accent that he can, you know, when he orders from a Spanish speaking person. And I was just so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like sitting there.
It's better just to say it like chili relleno. Like they expect that more than you.
I think it's probably better to do
it's
that.
More
than
acceptable.
Go, chile relleno.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Put a little sexy like, spin on there. Yeah, yeah. Like Hot Elvis.
Super Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Excuse me, ma'am.
So when is you've got this three song EP? When can we expect a full length here, guys? What's going on here?
That is a great question. We're planning on starting the recording of the full length like immediately.
Yeah, you got songs for it. You're ready with that?
We do. Okay. But yeah, we were even thinking about saving these and having them be part. But then
we can still do that, right? This is an EP. It's an extended play. It can you know, rework them a little bit. There you go.
And some of the stuff from our first EP, we kind of, because the first EP was a live duo recording, like no other instrumentation, and we just like pretty much one taked, and it was supposed to be like a live demo that turned out well enough that we decided we'd give it to people.
Yeah.
So we kind of want to rework those songs a little bit too, and have, because we've been playing them, you know, traveling and gigging those with a full band.
Uh-huh.
So we kind of, you know, we're going to put some stuff from the first EP on the album for sure.
Great, great. And you do play with a full band.
We do. Sam Watts, he's the front man of Ghosts I've Met.
Okay.
He's our percussionist.
Awesome.
And then Steve Norman plays pedal steel and some guitars. And Steve Norman also plays pedal steel with Big Sur. And Redneck Girlfriend and a few other Seattle bands.
Yeah, totally.
And so they've been making most of our travels with us. And I mean, we still do duo shows, but whenever we can, we get the whole gang together.
Now they live over here, though, right?
They do.
Yeah.
Is there any are you guys going to move over here eventually? Is that going to happen? Is that in the realm of possibility?
I'm not sure.
Probably
I'm not. Yeah, I mean. For no other reason than that, like, we're pretty settled in Yakima and haven't really.
And we have the freedom to come, like, pretty much when we need to practice, we have the ability with both of our jobs. Like, I work from home, and he does a lot of the week, too. And so we can really adjust our schedules to get, like, back and forth if we need to.
That's fantastic.
And, I mean, with traffic over here, I mean, you can kind of get over here just as fast as trying to arrange everyone.
There have been times where I have thought I could have made it to, like, I've been, you know, had to go to like some venue to interview somebody or something, and it'll be in like South Seattle or like Columbia City Theater or something like that, and I'll come from here and I'll be on the drive down there and I'll be like, I could be in Ellensburg right now. Like I could have made it all the way to Ellensburg to see my close friends in this amount of time that it has taken me to travel 10 miles.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I don't really miss that.
No.
Honestly,
no.
Living on the east side.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's like with the cost of rent being so much lower over there, like gas is, I mean, we have a little bit extra to spend on gas, like if we do need to come over. And those guys are such great musicians. Like they pick up on stuff so fast that
I think we did the first gig with both Sam and Steve before we had ever, the four of us, rehearsed together.
Yeah.
Really?
We had rehearsed with Sam and done gigs with Sam, and we had a rehearsal with Steve.
But
and we played a gig as a four-piece.
That night.
Yeah.
The first night we practiced with Steve, we did a gig that night.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's they're easy.
Yeah. And also, you know, like, everybody kind of speaks the same language, so I can, like, send them a phone recording of like us playing in the living room and send him a phone recording and be like, oh yeah, it's in this key, And Steve will send back a message. It's like, I'm listening to it. I've got it. Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, and he's good. I trust him.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you guys have found, like, I mean, you've really connected with a bunch of musicians that are on the same wavelength.
We kind of have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not an easy thing to do.
Not at all. I feel like that's a lucky thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, it being... Being a duo that's like we're always together and we uh-huh. can pick up and play wherever we want, but we've gotten really lucky with, you know, Sam and Steve wanting to play too, because, you know, they're kind of on the same schedule. Like, is it a good gig? We're in.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. Like, it's not it hasn't been difficult. Like, there's no logistical hang-ups, really, you know, everybody
really
just wants to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good. That's great to hear. And you can hear the results in the EP. Everything meshes so well. It's mixed great, mastered.
Well, thanks.
Wonderfully. I'm a fan now.
Well,
I'm a fan.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a pleasure talking with you guys, Jenny and Naveed. Thank you guys
thanks
so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah. Where can we find out more about Planes on Paper, upcoming shows, things of that nature?
Well,
that totally rhymed, by the way.
Planes on Paper and things of that nature. That's what we'll call our children's book.
Yeah.
There's always like, you know, Facebook.
No. No, you can't take that. I'm taking that.
What?
Yeah, for my children's book.
Oh no.
God.
He did think of it.
Yeah, you coined it. Okay.
Trademarked. Dunk.
We'll go back to calling our children's book, what was it, Poop in a Bucket?
No, that was the punk band name.
Oh, yeah.
Poop in a Bucket and Methamphetamine Addiction. Yeah. That's what it's called.
But yeah, we keep a calendar on Facebook and on our website, which is planesonpaper.com. Which is really just a band camp site that happens to sit at that address. And I think in the next like week or so, we're going to announce like all the January. We're doing like 5 or 6 January shows.
Sure. And you guys are playing Timber.
Yeah, that's actually the first of our busy January.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
We'll be at Columbia City Theater on the 30th of January.
Wonderful.
With some good friends that we can't announce all of them yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then a couple of shows around the east side of the state, too.
Wonderful. So go to planesonpaper.com or find them on Facebook. Do you guys have a Twitter, Instagram, anything like that that you need to plug?
We do have a Twitter, although it's not really worth plugging because I think we're bad at Twitter. I don't know if it's
terrible.
A thing that you can
I am
be
awful.
Bad at.
I am awful at Twitter as well. I every time I mention it, I'm embarrassed because, you know, I'll go through like periods of like a month where I won't even tweet.
Yeah.
You know? And then I get people to follow me, and then they instantly unfollow me when I say something that's not funny. So
I've never tweeted.
And we thought about having a band Instagram. Uh-huh. The problem is we're both so personally attached to our personal Instagrams that...
I think we'll start a band Instagram, though.
You think?
I think you have to.
You have to be
in
charge.
You're a photographer. You gotta do that.
I know. Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
You definitely have to be in charge because my Instagram is always either all pictures of cats or all pictures of our dog. That's like all I can. Everything else, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just regular stuff. I mean, it's beautiful, but that's regular stuff. Like,
that's a really solid plug for your own Instagram right there.
Yeah, yeah. Look at what this cat's doing right now, though. Look at he's playing with a garden hose. Like, people need to see this to believe it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. And very excited for to hear a full length coming out sometime soon. You can find the Ruins EP. Where will that be available? January 1st?
Yeah, all the normal spots like iTunes and Bandcamp.
Okay.
And
great. Yeah. Well, we're really excited.
Oh, we have a Pandora station too that people can listen to if they enjoyed that.
Oh, great!
So it'll be there shortly after.
Yeah,
that's always
a good thing. So Pandora as well. We're going to go out today with the song "The Ruins," the title track off of this 3-song EP, which is fantastic. And I do really urge you guys to go like them on Facebook and check them out. Check them out on their soon to be Instagram page. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can find out more about us at www.air-raid.net. Click on the archives tab and go check out all 222 episodes of the Air Raid podcast with people like Mike Birbiglia, Pete Holmes, Mudhoney, Presidents of the United States of America, Death Cab for Cutie, all there for your listening pleasure and for free. And now, episode 222 with Planes on Paper. So, come on, people. What are you waiting for, right? Right?
Right.
Right. Right. Thank you. Yeah. All right. This is The Ruins, and we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Have a good one, everybody.
Those words are plain.